Today's Hubcast guest had always had an ambition to be an interior designer, but she found herself working as a bookkeeper and later a finance director of an interior design firm that specialised in film studios. When she eventually decided to make the leap into interior design, unfortunately the pandemic hit shortly after. Let's find out how she navigated that storm. Welcome to the Hubcast, brought to you by the Interior Designers Hub, where we help and support interior designers to get trained, get into the industry, and to grow wildly successful businesses. If you want to work in the field you love, create the lifestyle you desire, and make the money you truly deserve, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Kate Hatherall. Let's get into it. Hello, hello. Welcome to today's Hubcast. I am really excited today to be able to welcome Carolyn Hayter from Langdon Hyde Interior Design. Hi, Carolyn. Welcome to the Hubcast.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Really excited to have you here today and to hear all about your story. So can you tell me a little bit about your business, what you do now, where you're located, what sort of interior design do you do?
Okay, so I am located in a little village called Ottershaw, which is in Surrey. I work from my studio at home, which you can see around me, and I'm very much geared towards the local residential market.
Amazing. And do you have a particular design style, or do you cover all sorts of different things?
I like to think that I design for my clients. So despite what my style is, I like to take on board what my clients, what makes them happy, what their style is.
Excellent. And how long have you been in the interior design industry?
So I've worked independently since 2021. That's when I launched my business.
Amazing. Okay. And prior to that, were you doing something else, or have you always been an interior designer?
I've always had a burning desire to be an interior designer, and my journey started a long, long time ago. I had an ambition when I was working as a bookkeeper to study interior design, so I started a correspondence course with a company a long time ago. Found it really hard work because there was no such thing as internet and so on and so forth, where you could have instant feedback from people. And so I decided that rather than pursue the studying, that I would put on my big brave pants and apply for a job with a design company as a bookkeeper. And that was really where my journey started. And that journey lasted for 28 years up until 2021.
Amazing. So was it a case of you kind of wanted to work in the interior design industry, but that it was by doing the bookkeeping side of things, you sort of were in the industry without sort of putting yourself out there as a designer?
It was my way into the industry. And I was very fortunate because the company that gave me the position was based at film studios at the time. They were doing some really exotic work, and I very quickly became finance director and wow. A major shareholder in the company. And we did some really exotic work. And I was very fortunate, as the company sort of contracted and expanded, that I was able to work across all the disciplines of the company. So not only was I sort of back of house, I was doing a lot of the design work as well, but collaborating with teams, really.
Okay, so you were able to kind of pick up that design and that creative work alongside the kind of bookkeeping, accounting type work that you've been doing as well.
That's right, yeah.
Brilliant. And at what point did you, like, was there a point, or was it a gradual sort of thing where you suddenly went, do you know what, actually, I want to go and be an interior designer now? Was that a defining moment, or was it just a gradual sort of realization?
I knew that I wanted to work in residential. A lot of the work we were doing was very technical, very complicated, and I was only ever a small part of it. I really wanted to be captain of my own ship and, you know, work in the areas that I felt comfortable in. So, eventually I found it was the right time to quit that position. Right time for me, wrong time for the world, because it was 2019. And of course, COVID kicked in the year after. So that was a bit of a start.
So you went to start up your business and then the whole world shut down.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. I did use the time usefully. I studied more technical stuff, a lot of SketchUp and social media. So that gave me a good grounding for when I did eventually launch properly.
Amazing. And how did you then, so post-pandemic, presumably, how did you then launch? Was that something, so you said that you'd done some preparation, so you'd done some SketchUp work, you kind of knew what you were going to be doing, you'd studied, I think you said, with Tech Pixies to get some experience under your belt, the know-how that you needed. So what then did you do? Did you know how to set up a business?
Well, having worked in a business all that time, you would think that yes, it's no problem. But no, through all my social media studies, that's where I found the Interior Designers Hub. And obviously got in touch. Well, actually didn't get in touch, but took one of your trial courses. Yes. And I think the first one was the pricing. And the next one I did, I think, was one of your five-day challenges. And I realised the value of belonging to the hub and how it could support my new business. That was really the turning point from really just sort of putting myself out on social media to actually forming a proper business and having a direction and, knowing what to do for myself.
Okay. So those kind of practical steps and what you do first and what you do next.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Awesome. And so once you had got to that point and you were out there and you'd sort of, you know, put your business on social media and you're beginning to talk about what you're doing, how did you find those first few clients? Was that something that was easy for you or something that took a bit of work?
It takes work. It's all right getting the first couple of clients. I think, you know, when you're new and people that you socialize with, they want to support you. And I think initially it's not that difficult, but I think sustaining it is what's more difficult. I've been fortunate that I've got clients that have got long-term projects, so they keep me busy. But actually finding new clients isn't so simple. I'm still trying to work that one out.
Okay. Well, I mean, and it's a work in progress, isn't it? And the more that we do these things, the more that we know. And it's great that you've got, you know, those clients that have got the longer term projects, which is keeping, you know, that work going whilst you're also kind of filling up your pipeline of new work as well. Were there any kind of particular fears or worries that you had making the transition from your old career into this new one?
I think we all have fears and have worries. One of the things which I didn't mention earlier, but having joined the hub, I've decided to launch into studying for another diploma, having achieved one sort of 20 years beforehand. I realised how much the world had moved on and also how much emphasis in the Hub's diploma was aimed towards getting to know your clients and, you know, actually working with people. The previous studies that I'd done was very much towards the technical side rather than the people side. So that has helped in that respect.
It's a very people-centric business, isn't it, interior design? And I don't think people always realise that.
I think we can all design. I think we can all produce beautiful designs, but producing a design for somebody else that they like is the more tricky part of it.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that that's absolutely nail on the head, because we all know what we like. We, you know, perhaps have trained or have the, just the skills naturally to be able to produce it. But there's something else additionally that you need when you're working with other people, which is about interpreting what their likes are and being able to understand what delights them rather than what delights you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. And so some of those fears and worries about making the transition, as you said, so you were worried about perhaps skills not being up to date, about how it's very people-centric rather than just about technical things. Were there any kind of, you know, mindset things that held you back at all? We quite often speak to people who are anxious about doing it or feel that they're an imposter or compare themselves to other people. What was your kind of journey like?
Well, I think the journey continues, Kate. I think it's quite hard to answer that question. I've recently joined a business networking group to generate more business. And again, it's a big step. You're putting yourself out there and saying, give me work. And you want work, but you never know what's going to turn up. And it's... You have to do the work to become confident in the work, and it just, you know, so it goes on.
Do you think that there is, you know, a big difference between when you're working for somebody else or you're in that environment where it's kind of structured and you're not having to go out there and get work, and then all of a sudden when you run your own business you're responsible for bringing that work in? Do you think that's a big shift from one to the other?
It's a huge shift, and it really made me realize what was going on behind the scenes when I was employed, because to a degree you take that for granted. And yes, it's huge to be responsible for generating your own income.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so what sorts of things, you'd mentioned about kind of doing some social media training, what sorts of things have helped you to, yes, get out there, get your name known? What sorts of things have you done or find helpful?
Well, definitely, well, there's that old adage, isn't it? You know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And again, this has been a big shift for me, because it was easy for me to be in the background in my previous environment. Whereas now I'm having to push myself forward. In some ways, it's not a hardship because I love meeting people, but you do have to balance that with actually getting some work done. So there's a lot of, you know, you have to be open to people, to be willing to spend time with them, get to know them. I firmly believe that's the way you get business. As they say, people buy from people, don't they? And to know, like, and trust them. So that's really important.
Absolutely. And it's that age-old tension as well between having to do the work of the day job but also having to put in the time to do the marketing and to build those relationships, and there's always that tension between those two things.
Yes, and I suppose ideally one wants to be in a position where one can outsource those things, but again, it's a tricky situation because we all like the creative parts. Why would we want to hand any of that over?
Yeah, absolutely. So looking at your journey from that career into what you do now, is there anything that you wish that you would have done differently? Like, do you wish that you had done this all of those years ago when you did your first interior design qualification? Or do you feel that the journey that you've been on is kind of the right thing and that you are where you're meant to be now?
Looking back, serving a 28-year apprenticeship was probably a really good thing.
It is a long apprenticeship.
But in a lot of ways, I wish I'd had the courage to do this earlier. The turning point for me, really, or the deciding point, was that I wanted to spend more time with my family. My partner took retirement when he was quite young, so he's around a while, just waiting for me to sort of spend more time. And I've got an elderly mother who I felt needed more of my time. So it's, again, a balance, but I'm far, far happier working from home, having control over my destiny now.
Amazing. And are there any kind of lessons that you've learned along the way, or anything that you would tell your younger self if you could kind of turn back time and go and talk to an earlier Carolyn?
I think you do have to have self-belief. I know that's easier said than done, but I firmly believe we're capable of doing anything. You just have to get on with it.
I love that.
Confront
so much.
Fears, I think.
And do you think that there is a reason that you have that more now than you did back then?
I'm sure there is. I think it's just growing up.
Yeah. And we sometimes hear that as well with, you know, people on the Hubcast as well, that it's just time and experience. And that although people would have liked to have done this earlier, actually they needed to go through all of those experiences to arrive at this point where they were confident enough, or they, you know, were prepared enough and equipped enough to be able to do this.
Yeah, I'd agree with that 100%. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, Carolyn, thank you very much for sharing that journey. And, you know, it is lovely to see your business taking shape and growing, and to see you getting those clients in. Before you go, would you be happy to play a game of designer this or that?
Of course, that sounds really good fun.
Amazing. All right, so I'm going to put 1 minute onto the clock and I'm going to give you choices and you just have to tell me the first thing that pops into your head. Are you ready?
Okay. Yes, I'm
Amazing.
Ready.
Scandi or boho?
Scandi.
Spots or stripes?
Spots.
Maximalist or minimalist?
Maximalist.
Dark or light?
Light.
Victorian or Edwardian?
Edwardian.
Carpet or hard flooring?
Hard flooring.
Brushed chrome or shiny chrome?
Brushed.
Symmetrical or asymmetrical?
Asymmetrical.
George Clark or Kevin MacLeod?
Oh, Kevin MacLeod.
Floral or plain?
Plain.
Art Deco or pop art?
Art Deco.
Changing rooms or interior design masters?
Interior design masters.
And there we are. That is the time. Our minute is up. Carolyn, thank you so much for playing designer this or that.
Thank you, Kate.
Amazing. So that brings us to the end of today's podcast. Carolyn, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your journey. And I know that that's going to inspire other people as well to, you know, perhaps make their own leap and to make their own changes. So thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you, Kate. It's my pleasure.
Thank you for tuning into Hubcast by the Interior Designers Hub. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a screenshot and share it to Facebook, Instagram, or your favourite social media channel. Make sure to tag me in at Interior Designers Hub and let me know what you enjoyed about this episode. I reply to each and every comment. I'd also like to offer you an incredible free gift, which is going to show you the exact roadmap that you need to take to become a wildly successful interior designer. It shares our secrets to business success. If you'd like to get your hands on that, head on over to interiordesignershub.co.uk/roadmap right now. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.